Hello, this is Keith Elder coming to you with your weekly podcast for September 13th through 19th of 2020. That would be week 37 if you're following along with our Bible read-through in our North Alabama Conference. Thanks to Lynn Cosby for inviting me to take a turn, and thanks to Bishop Deborah Wallace Paget for this challenging initiative. The passage I have selected from this week's assigned readings is perhaps one of the more familiar on the list. Would you hear the word of the Lord from Ezekiel chapter 33? The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring the sword upon the land and the people of the land take a man from among them and make him their watchman, and if he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then if anyone who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But if he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any one of them away, the man is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to you, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you will have saved your life. Ezekiel 33 is all about the watchman. It's not about the enemy coming in the middle of the night. It's not about the people who are sleeping in their beds and need to be warned. It's about the watchman. And it might suggest that some of the watchmen in real life had not done their job. Might suggest that some aren't doing their job right now, and it might suggest that they might not do their job should the crisis come along. Most scripture is there as a response to a real-life situation. I selected this passage. I think it's amazingly relevant as we think about our current state of affairs in our country, in our world, in our nation, certainly in our United Methodist Church. It's as Christians, as individuals, it's laypersons, and it's clergy. It's so relevant to whoever we might need to be. No doubt the sword is coming. There are just entirely too many indicators that there are bad things. A bad moon arising is the way Creedence Clearwater Revival might have said it. But there are just too many trumpets that lie silent. I heard the story about a person who had a prize-winning canary, a beautiful singing voice, and that canary would sing. People would come over to the house and listen to Chippy, the canary, as it would sing and just delight everyone in attendance. There came a point where the owner was cleaning her house, had a vacuum cleaner out, and you can imagine already where this goes. But she would occasionally leave the cage open so that Chippy could just fly around the house freely. And Chippy had kind of snuck around the edge of the couch, and as the vacuum cleaner came around, it sucked up poor Chippy. Well, of course, the owner was horrified. She immediately opened up the vacuum cleaner, pulled out the bag, and began dusting off a coughing Chippy. She took it to the kitchen sink, and she ran it under the faucet trying to wash off all the dust. And then she took a blow dryer, and she blew the little bird dry and set it very carefully back in its cage. It was a week, it was two, and then people were asking, well, how's Chippy doing? And the owner said, well, Chippy's doing okay, but Chippy just doesn't sing much anymore. I think a lot of us preachers are maybe a little bit like that, charged with preaching a prophetic word to a real world. We don't do that so much anymore, and I had to wonder why that might be the case. I came up with the top 10 reasons the watchman might not sound the alarm. an individual, a local church, a denomination, a nation. It could apply to anyone. But the top 10 reasons, in the spirit of the late night prophet David Letterman, by the way, have you seen his beard lately? Number 10, reason the watchman doesn't sound the alarm. Number 10 is he's asleep. He's just tired. He's worn out. He's burned out. He's beat up. I get that. But, you know, he's still responsible. Oversleeping doesn't excuse the person for neglecting their responsibility, failing at their responsibility, and people dying because he was sleepy. Number 9 reason the watchman doesn't sound the alarm, he's afraid. Sometimes we just freeze up in the face of a great opponent, like a deer in the headlights. I think about Israel in the face of Goliath. To that, I would say, folks, everybody is afraid at times. And some people just continue to function, even with the fear upon them. They continue to do their jobs. Anyone who will tell you that they are not ever afraid will probably lie about other things, too. Folks, courage. Courage, all it is facing down fear under fire. Number 8 reason the watchman doesn't sound the alarm is they're a wimp. Now that's afraid, but it's a little bit different. It's being afraid of what other people think. I saw a cartoon. It just had 3 frames. The first frame, it had a man, actually 2 men standing there, and one said to the other, "I am a man of firm convictions." It goes to the second frame, and the second man speaks, "Oh, no, you're not." It goes to the third frame, and man one says, "Well, maybe you're right." I think sometimes that's the way we are. When we get just a little bit of resistance, we get a little bit of criticism, then we back down. We might make somebody mad. We say, "Oh, we might make them mad," and they leave and go somewhere else. And Lord knows we've got a mortgage to pay. Sometimes you just have to go along to get along. I had a layperson in the first church I ever served in full-time capacity. I was actually a youth director right out of college. And there came a point where we felt like after 5 years that I needed to go to seminary. And I was looking at the candidacy program. They had us before the administrative board one night, and they took the official vote and recommended me for candidacy. But after the crowd had kind of cleared and the well-wishers had wished me well, I had one person waiting in line, an old gentleman by the name of Milo Fricks, who was one of those lay people that makes the church run. But Milo came up afterwards and he said, "Keith, whatever you do, don't coddle your congregations." I might translate, don't be a wimp. Don't be afraid to tell people what they need to hear, what the gospel is saying to them. Number 7 reason the watchman doesn't sound the alarm. He may be looking through tainted glasses, through tainted binoculars or telescopes as they watch for the enemy. What does that mean? Well, maybe the lens is dirty or warped or cracked. Maybe it's someone else's lenses. Maybe we're looking through the tainted glass of prejudice, the tainted glass of old unrighteous traditions that are a part of our various cultures. Maybe they're looking through the tainted glass of the old fraternity mindset, or maybe it's through a cable news channel, or maybe it's through a political party. We aren't looking through our own eyes. We're looking through tainted glasses. Jesus talked about the eye as being the lamp of the body. He was talking about your perspective. He said if the eye is clear, the whole body is clear. But if the eye is dark, then the whole body is full of darkness. If your perspective is off, then you're never going to see clearly. A grandpa was washing his glasses one morning, and his little adoring grandson was looking up at him. And the little boy said, "Granddad, what are you doing?" And grandpa said, "Well, I'm washing my glasses." Little boy said, "Well, grandpa, why are you doing that?" And grandpa stopped, looked at him, and said, "Son, don't ever start today looking through yesterday's dirt." And number 6 reason the watchman doesn't sound the alarm, well, maybe they're a mess. They're fragmented. They're all over the map. They're trying to do everything. They're driving the church bus. They're teaching 9 Bible studies. They're doing the children's time every week rather than passing that along. They're trying to be involved in Rotary and Civitan and Lions Club. They're trying to coach Little League ball. They're doing all these things, and yet they fall victim to the overcommitments, and they fail at the one thing they're actually called, actually there to do, which is to preach the gospel. Take authority to preach the gospel was the word that was put laid on them at the time of their ordination. If you don't do it, who's going to? We may need to say a few holy no's on the way to honoring our one holy yes, which is to preach the gospel. Since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, let us lay aside every sin that so easily entangles us, and let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's get organized. Let's weed away the lesser things so that we can embrace the main thing. Number five reason the watchman doesn't sound the alarm. Well, maybe they are astray. Maybe they've been compromised. Maybe they sold out for power, for money, for career purposes. It happens. No longer do they sound the alarm when they see the enemy coming because they're no longer alarmed. It's so much like themselves. They don't see the enemy coming because they've become one with the enemy. Sort of like the prodigal son, they are in a far distant land and they've yet to come to themselves. So why in the world would they worry about sounding the alarm for the city? They don't even see the need. Number four reason the watchman doesn't sound the alarm is they're adrift. No rudder, no sail, no star to guide them. No vision is really what we're talking about here. And of course, we know without a vision, the people perish, not just the watchman, but the people under the watchman's care. What is your vision? Is it to get so-and-so elected in the next presidential election? Is it to build a new family life center? Is it to just see how many new people we can take in at the church this time? Maybe your vision's no more than losing a few extra pounds. Jesus cast a vision that is the kind of vision that keeps us on the straight and narrow. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And whatsoever things are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and gracious, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, let your minds dwell on these things. Paul, in a way, what he was doing through all the letters, he's saying, this is what it looks like to be the church. This is what it looks like to be the followers of Jesus Christ, to be a disciple truly. That's the vision. It's what it looks like. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds that you might be able to prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And number three reason the watchman doesn't sound the alarm, well, maybe they are forgetting how important their role is. You realize as the watchman, whether you're an individual or a Sunday school class or a local congregation or a annual conference or even a denomination as a whole or as a nation that's supposedly this light to the other nations, you realize you're the first line of defense. You're the tip of the spear. You're the first domino. And if you don't get your part right, all the other dominoes topple over as well. Without a preacher, the word's not preached. Without the word being preached, then there's no salvation of the people. Number two reason the watchman doesn't sound the alarm. Well, maybe you're suffering from hardening of the attitudes. Maybe you're angry. A lot of things to be angry about these days. Frustration. You know, frustration, anger, and hatred, they're all cousins. Maybe you're proud. You're resentful. You're arrogant. You're unforgiving. All those things are just foreign to the Christ spirit. Where have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God the thing to be held on to. But he humbled himself. We think about be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. It's all attitudes. Love is patient, kind, not haughty, selfish, rude. See, all of those are attitudes. Maybe the reason you don't sound the alarm because you've got a problem with your attitude. Well, perhaps what you need to do is to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And he'll lift you up. He'll give you an attitudinal adjustment, and it'll change your perspective about your job upon that watchtower. I think number one reason the watchman doesn't sound the alarm is maybe you're a long way from your first love. Revelations 2 is one of the letters to the seven churches, and the Spirit spoke to the church at Ephesus and talked about what good things the church had done. I see all your good works, and that's a good thing, but there's just one thing I have against you, and that is that you have left your first love. Remember that first time that you fell in love? You were totally taken with the other. You could not spend enough time with them. Couldn't wait to get back with them when you got separated. You'd do anything to make their day better. You were constantly thinking about making them happy. You thought about them before you thought about you. You could not wait to see them and be seen by them. Now, you remember when you fell in love with Christ? I can remember that day very specifically, and the powerful thing, when I could sing this song with tears in my eyes and chill bumps running down my spine, "My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, till this now. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back." You remember those songs? "The world behind me, the cross before me." That's where it was, first love. Maybe that's your reason. I mean, that you don't sound the alarm. It's maybe you've left your first love. Kind of wrapping up this, I had a thought that if you get this number one reason for not sounding the alarm, if you get that part right, you find your way back to a first love, then the other reasons will probably evaporate, and you'll find yourself sounding that alarm, being ready, being alert when it comes your turn. Again, this passage is about the watchman. It does not say whether or not the enemy came, doesn't say how the people responded or whether they were saved when the enemy did come. It just says, in essence, sound the alarm. That's your job. Sound the alarm. For my closing prayer, I would share with you the words of the familiar hymn. God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power. Crown thine ancient church's story. Bring her bud to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour. For the facing of this hour. Lo, the hosts of evil round us scorn thy Christ, assail his ways. From the fears that long have bound us, free our hearts to love and praise. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the living of these days, for the living of these days. Cure thy children's warring madness, bend our pride to thy control. Shame our wanton selfish gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, lest we miss thy kingdom's goal. Lest we miss thy kingdom's goal. Set our feet on lofty places. Gird our lives that they may be armored with all Christ-like graces, pledged to set all captives free. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, that we fail not them nor thee. That we fail not them nor thee. Save us from weak resignation to the evils we deplore. Let the search for thy salvation be our glory evermore. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, serving thee whom we adore, serving thee whom we adore. Amen.